Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Since 1954, the World Meteorological Organization has been naming hurricanes and tropical storms. But what did these people do to deserve having their names attached to this? As climate change continues to create more frequent and devastating storms, we propose a new naming system. One that names extreme storms after policymakers who deny climate change. We propose something like this.
Senator Marco Rubio is expected to pound the eastern seaboard sometime early tonight. Windows are being boarded up and grocery stores are virtually empty as Marco Rubio threatens everything in his path.
Now, Michelle Bachmann is on the way, folks, and specifically the eye of Michelle Bachmann will be hitting Florida in a few hours.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann is incredibly dangerous. If you value your life, please seek shelter from Michelle Bachmann.
Senator David Vitter is turning out to be one of the hugest and costliest disasters in American history.
David Vitter is literally lifting boats out of the water and tossing them onto the land.
In New Orleans, the levees that were built to stop Hurricane Colin Peterson have been obliterated. I'm here at the North Pier where Speaker John Boehner is really doing a number on this coastline. John Boehner is just destroying this town.
Local animal shelters are under pressure as thousands of animals have been displaced or killed by Governor Rick Perry.
We can't even take care of the animals that we've rescued, and so some of them are going to have to be put down, all because of Rick Perry.
We've been here for 2 days because of Congressman Paul Ryan. I have friends still out there. It's scary because I have no idea what Paul Ryan could be doing to them right now.
Senator James Inhofe has turned out to be a worst-case scenario come true. And now an entire nation is wondering how they'll ever recover from the disaster that is James Inhofe.
If you agree that it's time for a naming system that names extreme storms caused by climate change after policymakers who deny climate change, sign the petition at climatenamechange.org before John Boehner blows your entire city away.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection.
No one gets that.
Here he is, Mike Novak.
I'm telling you, nobody understands that joke. Maybe I need to change it.
I get it.
Yeah, because I explained it to you. That's the only reason they're all in the studio going, I don't get it. What does that mean? Huh? But I love my team anyway, dense as they are.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Not everybody can be... out there on the front lines of humor, it's tough.
It's a tough gig.
It is. It's a dirty, thankless job, but I'm willing to take it on. Happy Labor Day. It's not Labor Day, but that'll be tomorrow, but it's, you know, might as well be.
It will be.
Didn't everybody, you know, start the weekend on Wednesday? Just took all the rest of the week off and And then they're going to take off Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, too. Isn't that the way holidays work in America now? No, actually, that's the way they used to work. That works that you work on Labor Day and the Sunday. Most of those people, because we are the hardest working country in the world. What is that thing? The productivity. Our productivity is second to none. And that's because we work 90 hours a week, darn it.
Yeah.
So that our bosses can make 17 quadrillion times what we make.
And go home at 4.
And go home at 4 on Tuesday. And come back the following Wednesday. Not the next day, but like 8 days later. Yeah. Welcome to America. What a great place.
I love this country.
I love it until I find something better. That's the way I look at it. I'm still looking around, still trying to see what's out there.
There's Canada.
You know, and that's a great segue. Beautiful segue. 10 o'clock today. We are simulcasting with Nikki Jabour, who is up in the hinterlands. She's up in the north country, north of us.
Barry.
Eight. And she said she'll say eight a bunch of times for us. She has a show called The Weekend Gardener. For those of you who are fans of the Mike Novak Show, last year we did a simulcast, and it actually worked pretty well. So we're doing it again. And she's also the author of The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener, which won the 2012 American Horticultural Society Book Award. That is an award that I will never get. Just telling you. I'm just predicting it right here on this show. That's an award that will never come my way. So that's going to be really fun. First hour of the show, and Sarah, you might want some of this stuff, too. Some of these sheets here, like the with phone numbers and commercial times and spots and stuff.
Coming over.
Okay, hold on. I got something else for you. Here's a magazine. See, I reward my people. If they actually do their jobs, I give them a magazine.
Thank you.
Thank goodness Chicagoland Gardening Magazine gives a bunch of those I can throw into the trunk of my car. Then I just spread the happiness around. In the first hour of the show, get your phone calls ready right now. 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. Or tweet us at Mike Now. Go to the Mike Novak Show, and do you know we're 3 likes away from 1,000?
Oh, I can feel it. I can feel the love.
Yeah. The love builds very slowly on Facebook. Have you noticed that?
It's a slow burn.
If I took my clothes off and posted that, do you think we get a lot more likes? What kind of crazy stunt do I need to do to have us go viral? That's what we need to think. I'll tell you what, I'll take suggestions on Facebook of what kind of crazy stunt, Facebook stunt, do I need to do to go viral? You're laughing, Sarah. I'm desperate here. I want this to happen.
I have no idea. I think we need to hire a 14-year-old kid.
I think so, too. You guys are way too old. I know I'm too old, but even my staff, who's young, is way too old. So, yeah, feel free to like us on Facebook and bump us over 1,000. I would give a prize to the 1,000th like, except that Facebook doesn't let you know what order they come in. It's like, you're useless, Facebook. And I'm desperate here, you know, that's why I'm still working it. And then I tell them they're useless, but they don't pay attention. It's not like Zuckerberg is listening to this show. First hour. 773-763-9278. We're talking about lawns. Yes, sirree, Bob. September 1st is the day you want to go out and start working on your lawn, believe it or not. You folks do it in the spring. You're getting it wrong. You got it backward. I mean, you can. It's not as productive. This is the time. And I got 2 experts on the show. One of them is right here. On line 2, I don't know how you got to line 2, Jennifer Brennan, but there you are. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be back on the show.
It's wonderful to have you here. Jennifer Brennan, of course, my coho for Dig In Chicago, and she is the horticulture information specialist at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. I got that right, didn't I? It's, I mean, September 1st, that's when you want to get out there and you want to do your lawn?
Well, classically, we talk about Labor Day, and Labor Day is when, you know, you want to get that, you know, that's the best time to rejuvenate your lawn and help it get in shape and take care of any problems that you have in your lawn. And when you clear them up now, then you get a great start next spring.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea is up here in the upper Midwest, we are growing cool season grasses. That's what we call them. Cool season. Why? Because they do well in cool weather. So they love April. They love May. June depends on whether it's hot or not, but usually okay. And then July, August, they're not very happy. And then if we get lucky in September, October, they get happy again and then settle down and go into the winter. And if you've got them good and healthy going into the winter, they will come back in the spring nice and strong, right?
Absolutely.
So let's bring in your buddy who also works at Chalet, and that is Bill Leuenberger, who's the Soil and Turf Management Manager. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
What have we said? Well, see, now I'm backing up Jennifer here. Usually I would just bring in Jennifer, but Bill, there you are. You're our backstop here for anything that we don't happen to get right. And of course, I don't.
I'm the backstop for Bill Leuenberger. Bill is he's the go-to guy that I go to when I have any questions. So I'm in the background for him.
That's what I'm. Oh, okay, fine.
And well, thank you, Jennifer.
Wow,
you know it, Bill.
It's a mutual admiration society here. Here we go.
Exactly.
Bill, what would you say to folks who? The question I would ask is that we just came out of a pretty dry July and August here in northern Illinois and environs. Now, the thing that's difficult is everybody gets a different amount of rain, like the one yesterday. Hokey smoke. Some people got over 2.5 inches, and some people got a half an inch. And
right.
That's a huge difference, isn't it, in terms of lawns?
It is. It depends on the way it comes down. If you get 2.5 inches in an hour, a lot of that is runoff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't necessarily get 2.5 inches into the soil itself. It, you know, we're going into a period where you would hope to get rain. July and August, your turf tends to go dormant, even though they call it stress, but it's really a dormancy, and it's a rest period for your turf, and that's why it discolors and it may brown out. But majority of lawns that browned out in July and August will green up and may have already greened up just from the rain we got going into the cooler season.
Well, that's a good question. How soon after a rain does it take for a lawn to green back up? How quickly can a lawn respond?
Well, during the summer, it takes it a little bit longer because there's a lot of times a lot more heat. The heat can keep the turf from actually taking up water. So it's like I say, it's a dormancy. And now going into the cooler seasons, and of course we have the longer nighttime hours, the grass can respond a lot quicker. And, you know, within a day or so, you can see a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. And normally when you look at the books about this for our area, they say last 2 weeks of August, you know, are when you should start figuring out to do this and start getting involved. But the last 2 weeks of August that we've had here were hot and dry. So I would think that a lot of people are actually better off having waited if they didn't get started, you know, until now. We just got a little bit of rain. It's going to be a little bit cooler this week. I would think now is the perfect time.
It's a good time. And let's face it, we can't go back in time. So if you haven't done anything, this is ideal. Labor Day is probably your best time to seed. You have the best chance of getting proper germination, and you'll get a higher rate of germination if you seed right in and around Labor Day. Now, that's not to say that 3 weeks from now, you shouldn't be seeding. If you have a problem and like with weeds or what have you, you may want to control your weeds now and seed later, or you may want to seed now and wait 3 weeks to control your weeds, because controlling weeds and, of course, your seeding, this is the best time for both of them.
So as you can see, go ahead, Jennifer.
One thing I want to emphasize is when we're talking about the temperatures and how the turf is reacting, the grass plants are reacting, it's based as much on the soil temperature as it is on the ambient air temperature. So the last 2 weeks where it was so hot with the air, it was also warm for the soil temperature and the roots. And so when Bill was talking about how the high temperature can keep the grass from taking up water, it's the soil temperature that can restrict the water uptake. Is that right,
Bill? That's a great point. We take a look primarily at the soil temperatures on just about everything. If we're looking at putting down a weed preventer, for instance, and it's that goes for whether or not you're using a organic, such as your corn gluten meal, or if you're using a synthetic type product. We look at the soil temperature. The temperature means everything. When things germinate, what they need, to germinate. So soil temperature means a lot more than the ambient air temperature.
All right. That being said, and right after I ask this, and I'm going to hit you with a really hard question because I had a listener send me something, and I'm going to get him some free advice. You talk about soil temperature in the spring. When you throw grass seed down, the information will tell you that generally, and correct me if I'm wrong, that germination temperature is somewhere between 45 and 55 degrees, right, for the soil?
Closer to
55. Okay. Right. Does that mean 55 and above? So we've got now very much higher soil temperatures. You were talking about the higher soil temperature inhibiting the water uptake. Does it also inhibit seed germination?
Well, let's put it like this. It's not necessarily the germination. It's what happens after the germination.
Okay.
If it's too hot and that new seedling cannot take up water, and they generally die. So that's why a lot of times you say, if you put down seed in the middle of the summer, maybe it'll just germinate in fall. No, probably that seed has already germinated and died because of the heat.
All right. So when we're talking soil temperatures, 55 degrees, which is sort of the line, you need the soil at least that warm, you can get it to germinate much higher. The problem is keeping the plants alive once they germinate.
Exactly. And that's the problem with spring seeding. The problem in spring is that it just keeps getting hotter and hotter, whereas this time of the year it's getting cooler and cooler.
Right. And with the cool season grasses, you get them going now and it gets cooler and they're happier. It's really a much better environment for them. If you a lot of folks probably, if they miss their launch window in April, they're into May, and then, we get an unexpected hot spell, and then the turf isn't doing as well. And then we're in summer, and boy, you start all over again in the fall.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is why we say, in this part of the country, this is the time to do your overseeding, to create a new lawn. And how long can folks wait before they put down their seed?
As far as you mean, as opposed to
what's the launch window we have here right now? It's obviously
the distance. Let's put it like this: you're probably going to get a less and less germination the further it goes into the season. Or into the fall season. So, we put it down up until about the first week in October.
So we got a month here.
People are always asking, when's the latest that I can put, the seed down? And because we can't predict when the first frost is and when the temperatures start dropping, it's really hard to give people an exact date. You can say, the 15th of October, but, and then people can kind of, tempt fate and do it later, but it depends on how much you like to gamble.
Well, let me ask that question. And then how much does a light frost, Let's say we have an early light frost. How much does that affect newly seeded grass or newly germinated?
Well, it really depends. A light frost, generally, the newly seeded lawns can handle maybe a light frost. It's if it continues, because then you're stunting the growth is basically what it comes down to. And if the plant, being a new seedling, can't grow, it's just not going to survive.
Uh-huh. But even with an early frost, the ground is still warm, right?
So, exactly. Right. I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Right. And your germination will be fine, and there's a good chance that there's enough heat from the soil itself that the plant will have the possibility of living. I'd be more worried about if you get really heavy frost and you know, it's affecting the soil.
Okay.
And you know what? I think even more important that we need to really emphasize is keeping it, you know, evenly moist. You know, the bottom line is you've got to keep it evenly moist from the time it germinates to the time the roots get established. If you let it dry out once, all those little baby plants are going to die. And I think that's even more important to emphasize than the temperature. Wouldn't you agree, Bill?
Right. And to piggyback on that, Jennifer's not talking about a heavy soaking every time you go out. You want to keep it moist, you know, but you're not
sprinkle,
putting
a light sprinkle, like at least once a day, maybe twice a day if we do get warm, you know.
We call it syringing.
And the first in the morning, and you know, as we get into higher dew points and cooler nights, there's always a great dew point. There's always great dew in the morning. So it's usually consistently moist in the morning. But when you get home from work, it could be dried out. And so you need to make sure you just are dedicated for a month if you're going to do, you know, reseeding.
Exactly.
And, you know, because it takes, you know, up to 2 weeks to germinate. And the interesting thing is the grass seeds that we work with, they're the fescues and the ryegrasses that will germinate in 7 days when it's this warm, but the bluegrasses take 14 days just to germinate, and then they take another, you know, 10 to 14 days to get their root systems established. So you're looking at being dedicated for a month, and it's worth it. It's worth it. But if people don't understand that, they come back very disappointed.
We are talking to Jennifer, and it says on the screen here, Jennifer, you'll be happy to know, Sarah typed in the lovely Jennifer Brennan.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh wait, no, that was Rob.
So nice.
Rob typed that in. Oh, before.
Thank you.
And it says Bill, what's his name, Leuenberger. I don't know why it says that. No, it does. It just says Bill Leuenberger, and Bill is the soil and turf management manager at Chalet, Jennifer, horticulture information specialist at Chalet, and my co-host on Dig In Chicago. And we do have a question for you guys, and let's go to Mark in Grant Park. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Love you guys' show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I live in the other Grant Park, which is south of Chicago.
I kind of figured that, yeah.
What I have is creek clay. Topsoil has probably been removed, you know, probably 50 years ago, so I've got what I've got. But I was on a plane flight back to Chicago and was talking to this gentleman that took care of golf courses, and I asked him, I was like, you know, I roll my lawn in the springtime, I do the aeration in midsummer, and then I, you know, try to roll it anytime I get a very good drenching, but it's inevitable that I have to almost wear a kidney belt to cut my grass.
Because it's so bumpy.
Exactly. And I asked him, you know, what do you guys do? Golf courses look really cool. And he's like, well, we use a deterrent. And, of course, I figured that out. Is that they essentially, he told me it was earthworms that's causing it and that they use a deterrent. So.
Oh, Mark, you called about this the other week, and we were on a different subject, so I'm so glad you got back to us. But you know what? Earthworms? That sounds a little odd. Bill, how would you address this issue?
No, we see that quite often.
Really?
And,
we really do. We really do.
My suggestion is to live with the earthworms and the little bumpiness. I understand that it can be a little bumpy, but I totally discourage trying to take out your earthworm population.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's like ground zero for the beneficial that you need for your soil. I totally understand that. So
a better solution is to do the core aeration and then right. add organic matter, or you know, and then because you want to kind of change your clay situation, and when you can add, you know, like a compost over the surface of the lawn after it's been core aerated, that gets down into the holes that are created when the plugs are removed, and then little by little, if you do that every year, you're going to change your soil, and it's going to get healthier and healthier and healthier. The other thing that helps is using organically based fertilizers, because then that's going to increase the microbes in the soil, and you're going to get a healthier profile of the soil, and you won't get quite as much lumpiness.
That all makes sense, definitely. You know, because I'm probably one of the few in the area I'm at that I let my grass grow to about almost 6 inches,
and it
actually looks greener than everybody else's because they cut everybody's cutting it too short.
And I imagine
normally customers or people in our area will say something to the effect of, you know, because I cut my lawn real tall, and they always say, you know, your lawn never looks like it's been cut, but why does it stay so green during the summer? Well, a lot of it has to do with the length of the grass, because you're shading that root system and keeping the moisture in.
Yeah.
Longer blades, deeper roots.
What was that, Mark?
It also helps keep weeds away if you let your grass grow that long.
Yeah, it's a natural, keeping your grass long, it does two things, which is kind of cool. It's a natural herbicide because it helps prevent
weed seeds from germinating.
Right,
yeah.
And it's a natural mulch. Because it keeps soil.
I listen to your show all the time.
Water.
I'm learning.
I would change the time then you do the core aeration. Don't do it in summer. Wait and do it in the summer, fall. Because when you do it in fall, as the days are getting shorter and the nights are cooler, the message is going to the plant from Mother Nature that they need to put emphasis on roots and the rhizomes. And then when you do that root pruning, that also stimulates the plant to put emphasis in the roots and the rhizomes. So, you know, switch your timing for your core aeration, and I think you're going to see really, you know, great improvement in your turf.
And the other thing I would ask, Mark, do you ever put down organic matter, compost, or anything like that on your lawn?
Well, for the most part, I mulch what I cut.
Yeah, no, see, so. I think Jennifer mentioned it earlier, and I think this is going to help, and Bill, tell me if you think this is right. If you start adding that organic matter, it is going to smooth things out. It doesn't hurt everything. You know, I tell people a couple of times a year, add half inch of compost, finely sifted compost. It provides organic matter, but biology to your soil. And I would think that it would help smooth things out. What do you think, Bill?
Well, that and especially like Jennifer had mentioned, if you do it after a core aerification, you're able to get some of that matter down deeper into the soil. The core aerification in fall, is the best time that you can possibly, or the best mechanical thing you can do other than mowing your lawn.
It makes sense because I kind of gauge it up based on, you know, I live in the true country, which means I'm either surrounded by cornfield or bean fields. And I watch what they do for the most part. You know, and they typically they'll till under, you know, in the fall to get that organic material back under, you know, back below soil level, and it's so that it's working. But again, we're dealing with creek clay, and these guys have been doing it for 100 years, and they still have what they have. So I plan on moving that direction on what you're talking about and understand, but it'll probably be the next generation of the Williamses that will benefit from it.
Exactly.
I'm surprised at how quickly some of that, you know, that organic material can work in the soil.
Yeah,
really want it active. I mean, that's very important. There's so many good things that come from organic matter into your soil that it's too numerous to even mention. I mean, we found that even we used to use fungicides on the turf, and we found that by doing organics, it worked much better than even the fungicides. You know,
so I'm going to brag about you.
Right. It's just a one top thing that you can do is to go to an organic, even in the fertilizers. You want to.
And Bill, how many of your accounts have you switched over to almost completely organic? You've got a huge percentage of your accounts. Is it something like over
60%? Of the 1,200
What'd you say? How many of those?
About three quarters. I think we're somewhere around 700, 750
That have gone switched over to completely organic. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That is great.
Isn't that cool?
You know, and one of my complaints in the Chicago area, and it's, and I know that doing turf is a hard job, but I expected in the last 10 years to see an explosion of companies doing natural and organic turf care, and it just isn't there. It's just not there from what I can see.
Well, I don't want to mislead anyone. We do still use weed controls. And we use them very sparingly.
It's like when you get cancer.
Right.
When you get cancer, you have to have chemotherapy. You get it cleaned up and take care of the problem, and then go back to organic again and have a healthy, healthy lawn that's too thick to get any weeds. And you know, but you have to use some, you know, some chemicals to get it cleaned up to begin with, and then go back to the organics and get it nice and healthy.
Right. Our goal is to never spray anything. If we could do that, I got to be honest with you, that's probably the goal of just about every lawn care company there is, because it's costly to spray. And the cost of the chemicals are just continue to rise. But there are a lot of chemicals that are, you know, becoming safer. And if you want to use the term, I hate to use the term safer on anything, even organic products.
Well, don't use the term safe, because when you got a chemical that's
earth friendly.
Well, but the thing is, when you've got a chemical that's designed to kill weeds or kill insects, there's no way you can call that safe. Now, you can.
Safe is not the problem, but they're working to make them, you know, more effective and less environmentally damaging.
Well, okay, and we're going to get to this in a second. I got to let you go, Mark. It was a great call, and I'm glad you listened.
I appreciate all your input. I definitely will work that direction, and I agree. You know, organic or natural things aren't always safe, because arsenic is also natural.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen.
All right, good point, Mark. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Hang on, you guys. I got to take care of some business here, but I want to get back to that whole question that we were talking about. I had a question in my mind. It'll pop back into my head in a second. That's Jennifer Brennan and Bill Leuenberger. We're talking turf on the Mike Novak Show. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you were happy to see some rain this week, imagine how your trees feel. Trees need to hydrate to prepare for winter, and you can help your trees get ready to go into dormancy. Even with the rain this week, and you know it was spotty in some places, you need to keep an eye on the weather, because some tree species such as birch and sugar maple are more susceptible to drought than other species such as bur oak. Also at risk are trees growing in sites where root development is limited by spatial restraints such as parking lots, downtown sidewalks, and planter boxes. Pretty much any tree in the city, except in a park, is going to have this problem. Trees that have suffered root or vascular system damage from construction, previous drought like we had last year, or certain types of insects and diseases are also at risk. And it's tough for trees growing on soils that are of poor quality, compacted, too much sand or clay, or either too wet or dry. To find out more about the water needs for your trees, contact a certified arborist at The Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466, or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Ladies and genomes, I am proud to say that we have just kicked over 1,000 likes on Facebook. We're at 1,002. All right, enough of that. Breaking news, and we also have breaking news. Bertold's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village is receiving shipments of seasonal plants weekly. Mums, pansies, ornamental peppers, kale and cabbage, bright lights, Swiss chard, and ornamental grasses. Everything you'll need to create a beautiful, long-lasting fall planter or refresh your planting beds. All trees, shrubs, roses, and ground covers are 35% off marked price. Yes, I'm not joking. Bertolt's Flower and Gift Shop has made the seasonal change to fall and Halloween with beautiful fall garlands, wreaths, candles, and everything you need to decorate your home or business for the season. Now, thank goodness they don't have Christmas stuff up there. I went go to my homepage, MikeNovak.net. You can see the photo I took at Costco earlier this week with the snowman. It was disturbing. The snowman was disturbing in August. But back at Bertolt's, their flower and gift shop specializes in all areas of floral design and offers a wonderful selection of fresh flowers, green and blooming plants, dry and silk arrangements, and other gift items for those special occasions. Don't know what to give? How about a Bertolt's gift card? It can be used throughout the year, and you will be appreciated for your thoughtfulness. Bertolt's Garden Center is located at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front, or go to bertoltsgardencenter.com, B-E-R-T-H-O-L-D-S, gardencenter.com. Yeah, for a lot of people, what a sweet dream is a nice lawn. You know, me, not so much. I'm okay. I have a tiny, I ripped out most of mine. And you know why I like a lawn, Jennifer and Bill? It's so I can walk in my bare feet when I'm looking at my other garden plants.
Exactly, exactly.
That's why I want it.
And you do, you need a little bit, you know, just to enjoy, you know, to enjoy your landscape. And it's people's choice whether they have a lot or a little.
All right, we don't have.
And it does filter a lot of the impurities out of the air when it rains, mm-hmm. because it has such a tight knit root structure. So it does. Turf does have
it,
has its advantages.
Oh, let's address one thing real quickly, Bill, because you've probably seen this a lot. The notion that when you have lightning, it is a nitrogen fixer in the soil, and that lawns can actually green up. Have you seen that happen?
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's even true with plants. That's why a lot of times tomato cages are metal, because that it gets that charge in it. That absolutely helps plants in general.
I had no idea.
Isn't that yeah. cool? It's the coolest thing.
That is the factoid of the day. That's why you have metal tomato cages so you can suck in the electricity, huh?
Hey, yeah. Hey, I have to make sure we get something really interesting in. And I learned this from Bill about if you do have weeds and you do have to use a weed killer, one of the best things to make it work better, because weed killers are actually plant hormones. And if the metabolism of the weed is not up, it's not going to pull that hormone in to do its job. So one of the neatest tricks that I love to share, and I learned this from Bill, is to fertilize first. And people think, are you crazy? Why would I fertilize the weeds? I don't want to fertilize the weeds. But you fertilize the lawn and the weeds first, and then it revs up their metabolism. Then when you spray and spot spray the weed killer on them, it absorbs in faster and it kills them quicker. Isn't that a neat trick?
That's a very interesting trick. All right, but that takes us back to something that we were discussing a little earlier before the break, and something you and I discussed, Bill, and Jennifer, you and I have discussed often, and that is the use of these of chemicals, whether they're natural chemicals, because as Mark pointed out, arsenic is natural. There are a lot of natural things out there, the problem being that people don't read and follow label directions. And, I say that all the time. And then they don't listen. I'm not going to bust anybody on the show here, but one of my people here did the same thing this summer. And I said, did you read and follow label directions? Well, no, I haven't gotten around to reading the label yet. But you applied the product? How can you do that? Bill, you talked about that. And that's part of the problem with any chemical that's used in the garden, whether it's an organic chemical, whether it's a fertilizer, whether it's a synthetic, whatever.
Right. That should be the first thing that when any product you buy, that should be the first thing you go through. You look at the precautions. You got to look at the plants that it can affect, and or perhaps other insects. If you're spraying an insecticide, what does it do to the beneficials? That's what you really need to take a look at. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with our waterways, what ends up going into our waterways. So you have to you want to read it all. There's certain areas or certain points where you have to stay away from water, like a lake or stream or what have you. You want to make sure you do that. You want to make sure that you apply it at the rate that is stated, because if you apply too little, it won't do the job. And then you have to reapply, and all of a sudden now you're applying double the amount. You apply
too much.
Deprived of property, and you're putting too much chemical, or it may not do any harm, to the plants themselves. But why would you put down double the rate of anything? All you're doing
because
is
it works better that way, Bill. It works better. The more, the merrier, right?
Isn't that what everybody believes? If some is good,
more is better, and that is just the most dangerous kind of thinking out there right now. At any time,
you look at seeding, and a lot of people put way too much seed down, and then all of a sudden, when it germinates, it's all competing with itself.
Yeah,
you're always better off putting less in the case of seeding than putting more. But in the case of pesticides, any pesticide that you use, whether it be a weed control, an insecticide, or a fungicide, if you have to use them, make sure you read the label and make sure you understand the label and understand all aspects. I know they're really long and lengthy, but if you know it, you're going to be much better off for that. You're going to put down the product properly. And that's my issue just in general with even certain landscapers, if they just jump right into it. Most of them really are very good, and they look at the labels and what have you. They are professionals. But you might have those few that, you want to ask them, make sure that they're putting down the proper product at the proper time.
All right.
I want to chip in something really quick.
Okay.
If reading the label is too intimidating, always come and talk to your professionals. That's what I do all day, every day at the diagnostic desk, is I translate for people. I take it from that chemical talk to English so that they understand. So that's what we're there for at your local garden centers. So there's lots of professionals in the garden centers that can help translate and help you understand the right way to do it.
All right. You got about 2 minutes. The other question that folks have, we've established now that this is a good time to seed. Fall is a great time to core aerate. If you core aerate, throw some organic matter in there right after you core aerate, and it'll fall into the holes, and it will help your soil become better and have better tilt. Grass seed, there's so many kinds of grass seeds. It's almost like it's, I don't know, it's like trying to pick a car. I have no idea where to start, or a lot of people don't have any idea where to start. Now, we know that shade and sun has a great deal to do with it. Your fescues for shade and Kentucky bluegrass for sun. But what, you know, with all the things, how does somebody start to make a good choice with a seed?
Could I say just the most important thing to do is to look at the seed, whatever seed you determine that you're going to purchase, and make sure there are no noxious weeds in there.
And that it's on the label. By law, it has to be on the label.
Right.
So yeah, it's not like you're going to be able to look at the seed to see weed seeds. You look at it on the label, okay? That's that's really important.
Yeah, that's very important, because those noxious weeds, you can't, you almost have to start over if you have enough of them in your lawn. So that's one thing. Number two, it's just like you say, percentages. Percentages. All sunny seed is going to have a percentage of fine fescues in it. I would say you don't want any more than 10 to 15% fine fescue in a sunny turf. It'll grow in it, but come August, fine fescues tend to brown out quicker because they're real shallow rooted.
What about this new wave of the so-called no-mow or low-mow seeds?
They're good, and they don't take up as much water. I mean, they're good. They don't look as nice, I'd say. You know,
they're much coarser.
Right? Yeah, so it doesn't have a really great appearance, but again, they're it's a good grass for, you know, everyday grass. It has pretty good wear. And, of course, your tall fescues are much the same. They have a real deep root system, and that's where all the research is going into, is mainly in the tall fescues right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, folks, thank you so much, Bill Leuenberger. Jennifer Brennan from Chalet, you can always visit them at Chalet Nursery. Give me the address, Jennifer.
It's 3132 Lake Avenue. It's at the corner of Lake and Skokie Boulevard in Wilmette.
And you can go to chaletnursery.com, C-H-A-L-E-T, nursery.com. And if you got turf questions, now's the time. Round up Bill or Jennifer and hassle them and make sure you get an answer, right?
Hey, that's what we're there for.
Right.
They'll be able to find me easier than Bill, but we can always get a hold of Bill and get the answer through to me.
You know, so they can always give us a call at 847-688-0561.
That number again, Bill?
847-688-0561, and ask for Bill Leuenberger. Or the number down at the store is 847-256-0561, and then you could get Jennifer.
You getting all that, Sarah? I hope you've got that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I've got it, too. I can go online and find it. All right, thank you both. You guys have a great Sunday, and happy Labor Day to you.
Thank you.
You, too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
As I said, happy Labor Day. Oops, knocked the microphone. Happy Labor Day, everybody. And if you have to do some labor tomorrow, the best place is in the garden, if you ask me. And the best way to have the information you need to extend your growing season as long as possible is a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. In the September-October issue, there's an article about the wonders of eggplants. Did you know that eggplants need full sun? And when we say full sun, we don't mean 6 hours of sun. We mean 12. I couldn't believe it when I read that. Who knew? Well, you do now. And did you know that when most people harvest eggplant, their first words after, wow, that's amazing, are usually, wow, what the heck do I do with this thing now? Seriously, I've said it many times. Well, this article takes the wow out of eggplants because there's even a couple of recipes included. Then, of course, there's my column on the inside back page. Many people have the same reaction that they have when they harvest eggplant. Wow, what the heck is that? Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
If you still have a mind to get some garlic planted this late summer, D. Landreth Seed Company has another suggestion. Within the class of hard-neck garlics, there are three types: rock-and-bowl, purple stripe, and porcelain, and three sub-varieties: glazed purple stripe, marble purple stripe, and Asiatics. Of all the types of garlic available today, the purple stripes are genetically closest to the original species, and they are the ancestors of all the garlic cultivars grown today. Chesnock Red was collected in 1985 from Chevlisi, a town in the southern part of the Republic of Georgia, and we don't mean where Atlanta is, the other Georgia. This garlic can produce exceptionally large bulbs with striped purple bulb wrappers and deep burgundy clove skins. Its rich, sweet flavor has to be allowed to mature over a few months after it's been cured, so it's best to start consuming this garlic in the late fall or early winter. That's just the garlic from D. Landreth Seed Company, but now is also the time to find saffron and fall-blooming crocuses. Go to LandrethSeeds.com or go to their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., that's L-A-N-D-R-E-T-H, or call 800-654-2407, 800-654-2407. Tell them Mike sent you. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Time to go to our excellent meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Stimulating conversation here. I really enjoyed listening to Jennifer Brennan talk about hormones and TDs and all of the other kind of stuff that makes plants grow faster and fatter and allow you to win the American League Central.
You are a piece of work. Did you hear what I played at the top of the show?
Yeah, a little Stevie Ray Vaughan.
No. That was top of the segment. I mean, this is this thing.
Oh, top of the segment.
The climate name change. Listen to this. These people put this out, and you can go to climatenamechange.org, sign a petition so that hurricanes would be named after famous climate deniers. Have you heard this?
Oh, yeah. I saw that article.
But you got to listen to this. Let me play just a few seconds of it for you. Here we go.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Senator Marco Rubio is expected to pound the eastern seaboard sometime early tonight. Windows are being boarded up and grocery stores are virtually empty as Marco Rubio threatens everything in his path.
Now, Michelle Bachmann is on the way, folks, and specifically the eye of Michelle Bachmann will be hitting Florida in a few hours.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann is incredibly dangerous. If you value your life, please seek shelter from Michelle Bachmann.
That's just too, it's hilarious. So I advise people to go there and sign the petition. I think we should have hurricanes named after those people.
Yeah, and you know what, Mike? I was at a climate talk at Oakton Trinity College last Tuesday. This is one of the professors of biology. I forget his name, and I won't say it on the air. But he presented, I guess the best way to say it is a Inconvenient Truth Part 2. And you know what? There was a climate, you know, denier in the audience because it's, you know, it's an open forum, public forum. And to be honest with you, this person stood up and actually gave a lot of good information that allows someone who doesn't believe in climate change to sound very smart. And one of the things that I had questioned the presenter was, how would you take all this information that you just gave us, preach into the choir, and package it so that you can talk to someone who is right-wing conservative, Republican, if you want to call it Tea Party activist, you know, not saying that those people don't have a place in the public forum. They do, because that's the American way. You know, you actually have to debate things. But the climate discussion, it was unfortunately too one-sided. And what happens is when you present things too one-sided, you give the climate deniers an excellent field, an excellent opportunity to make their voice heard. So one of the things that I try to tell my students, and I try to tell people who are going to talk about climate change, climate variability, and global warming, is to make sure you present both sides of the story with excellent facts, and also back them up, because the easiest part of the discussion is when you're the only one talking. I think you've agreed with this, Mike. The hardest part is when you have to answer questions, particularly from, you know, people who object to your views.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one thing that I think a lot of people who were trying to, you know, present information that this is what we have to do to change the world, so to say, is you're going to paint yourself into a corner, and you got to be really, really, really careful about that.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You have to know both sides of the argument to make the argument.
Well, to make the argument stick.
Yes, exactly.
You could throw as many, you know, cups and glasses against the wall, but, you know, if you're the only one picking up the pieces, then what's the point of throwing them against the wall there?
Yeah. Okay. I like the metaphor.
Anyway, I was talking about Jennifer Brennan. It always seems that when I listen to her talk, she's speaking through a smile. Doesn't it seem that way, Mike?
Yeah. Coggill says that the sugar pours out of his radio when he listens to her. And he said, is she for real? And yes, she is for real. That is Jennifer. That is the real Jennifer.
Yeah. So do we go to Chalet and mention Mike Novak and get 10% off a $4,000 ornamental pine tree?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Well, I tried.
I know you did.
So here we are, September 1st. We've finished up now what I refer to as the end of climatological summer. Notice I didn't say the word meteorological summer, because I hate that phrase. We talk about meteorological summer being a 3-month period, but yet we only refer to it from a standpoint of climate. So whether people have to either change what we call it or rephrase how they're actually presenting the data. So enough of me standing on my pulpit. The bottom line is we're at the end of climatological summer, which ended on August 30th. And basically what that means is when climate scientists look back at data for a specific season, we don't look at, say, June 21st to September 21st. We look basically at June 1st to the end of August, obviously, September 1st today. And interesting, Mike, when you look at this summer compared to last summer obviously started out with an incredibly warm spring, a very, very warm June, and incredibly hot July.
Okay. Rick, I'm going to stop you right there, and here's why. We're coming to the break, but I've got my show host from Halifax, Nova Scotia, coming on at the top of the hour, and I would love to have you chat with her for a couple of seconds before you give our forecast, and maybe talk a little bit about Canada weather.
Sure, we can do that. We got about 30 seconds here.
So hang on, and we'll continue this conversation with Nikki Jabour from Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's coming on right after 10 o'clock, so stick around to the Mike Novak Show. Rick DeBio will be part of it.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Welcome back to the second hour. I should note that Facebook follower Bill Friedman claims he's number 1,000. Now, I don't know how we prove that. You know, we got to be able to prove it some way. Let's take a quick listen to what's going on in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Groceries, wine, or maybe some beer this weekend. You'll want to pick up your supplies today. Superstore, Sobeys, NSLC, and NB Liquor will be closed tomorrow. Metro Transit buses will also be
closed. Wow. Okay, let's get some liquor, I say. Stock up. Well, that's the thing in Canada. We got to talk about that. We're still doing that. So let's go back real quick to meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Are you there, Rick?
I'm here, Mike. How are you this morning?
Okay.
Great morning out there, huh?
Oh, my goodness. It's like every Sunday we have a beautiful Sunday. I can't remember a string of more beautiful Sundays in the summer. It just seems like every time I head out to the radio station on a Sunday morning. And now I can't speak for the rest of the week, but the Sundays have been great.
I think if you go all the way back, even to that last weekend in July when we had temperatures only in the 60s, it was still pretty nice out. And I know for you, you love that kind of stuff. But yeah, from what I can tell, we've had, I think now 5 weekends in a row, we've had basically nice weather, even though it rained a little morning yesterday and, you know, it kind of was cloudy up until about the noontime hour. It was still pretty good. And from what I can see, most of today should be okay. Tomorrow looks fantastic, and it begins a string of some very, very nice, pleasant, cool weather.
Okay, Rick, we are, I think, ready to connect with Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Every Sunday in the Midwest, and let's see if we can hook up with them. Are you there, Mike?
I am here. Okay, now I'm getting a little feedback. Okay, we'll have Kenny come in.
This is what we have to be careful of.
Do-do-do-do-do. Denny's running from the other room.
Oh, no, Mike. Just reminds me of playing the album in college. I love this kind of stuff.
Okay.
No, still get it.
Now? Yeah. Nope.
Still getting it. Well, this is live radio.
This is live radio?
she's still adjusting things. Does it sound any better?
There we go.
All right. Are we cool?
I think we are. Rick, are you there, too?
I'm here, Mike. Yeah, hello, okay. Halifax.
Hello?
It's a party. Hey, Rick,
there
how are
we go.
You?
We had a little echo there that we had to get rid of because you, nothing like trying to speak when you're hearing yourself back in about half a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes it hard to think. That's for sure.
Nikki Jabour is on the line here. Actually, we're both on each other's airwaves right now. Nikki has a show in Halifax, Nova Scotia, called The Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabour. And, of course, I'm the Mike Novak Show in Chicago on Chicago's Progressive Talk here. You're on News 957.
That's our Nova Scotia channel. We also have News 88.9 and News 91.9 in New Brunswick, and it airs over the eastern portion of Canada as well as live online.
Ah, and of course, we're on 820 AM, 92.5, 92.7, and 99.9 FM here in the Chicago area.
And people can find you as well online. They can listen live to your show anywhere in the world, really, at MikeNovak.net.
That is correct. MikeNowak, Novak, that's it's right. Polish. So I don't say A, but I say Dobsha.
Okay, well, I've known some Novaks, so I hear you.
And Nikki, I wanted to introduce you to my meteorologist, who's regular on the show. His name is Rick DeMaio.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, good morning, Nikki. I know it's still morning over there because you're in what we refer to as Atlantic.
It's afternoon now.
Is it now the noontime hour?
It's 12:07. We have just passed into the noon.
Now you know what? I just realized that because you have to go Midwest and then Eastern and then Atlantic time zone.
Exactly.
So you're right. You're now.
We're way ahead, Nikki.
I'm now even more late for church than I was before.
Uh-oh, you better run.
Yeah, but Nikki, let me ask you a couple of questions if you don't mind, Mike. I'll just jump right in here. We had an incredibly stormy period from about February, March, April, and even into May, across much of the Northeast, much of Southeastern Canada, obviously including, Halifax, the Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland area. Mm-hmm. You remember all those storms? It seemed like once a week there was a huge cyclone moving through the Northeast, a lot of wind, a lot of rain, a lot of cold, even a lot of snow. How did that affect the beginning of the growing season? Did it delay it, or was it just a normal, Canadian gardeners kind of shrug it off and say, we've done this before? Because as a meteorologist,
since 1985 professionally. I've never seen a spring, and or I say a late winter, early spring, you know, last that long into the beginning of the summer season.
You know, we all shrug it off because that's just what you're going to do, other than complain, and we do that too.
Right.
There's not much to do, but yeah, it's been a cold. It was delayed by a couple weeks, I'd say, and like honestly, tomato season is running 2, 3, sometimes 4 weeks behind at this point.
Really?
It has been, you know, it's not been great, and we haven't actually had any serious moisture in about 3 weeks either. So my garden is dust. Makes it hard to establish your fall and winter crops. Let me tell you.
Yeah, well, we've had similar thing here in the Midwest. And not the rest of the country, but certainly here in the Midwest, it's been cool.
Yes.
The summer's been very cool, and especially in the last 2 months, Rick, and you can confirm this, it's been pretty dry.
Yeah, we've only had about 2 inches of rain since about the 1st of July.
Now, wait a second. Do you have to measure it in centimeters?
I've already converted it in my head. Don't worry, darling.
Because we're just dumb in America. We don't know how to do that stuff. So what
we know the imperial system.
What would it be in centimeters?
Well, you got 2.5 centimeters per inch and then 10 millimeters per centimeter. So you're talking 50 millimeters of rain. That actually sounds like a lot, though.
Well, actually, 2 inches of rain in the last 2 months is actually not a lot, considering that our evaporation rate during the last week, Nikki, and this is pretty amazing for Chicago, we had a 96-degree temperature, which is about, 36 degrees centigrade. We had 96 degrees on Tuesday. We had 96 on Friday. Friday, we actually tied a record. Tuesday, we missed it by a couple of degrees. And our normal high for this time of year is about 80. And to get 96 this late in the season,
in the last
week of August, not only was it hot, but incredible high rates of evaporation. So we're evaporating about 2/10 of an inch of water out of the soil.
But really, we were at, 32, 33? Where were we in centigrade?
In centigrade, 30 is 86 and 40 is 104. So we were right around 36 or something like that.
Okay.
That's pretty hot.
That's really hot for this time of year. But the one thing I wanted to talk about, Nikki, from a standpoint of trees and bushes, I know last year we had an incredibly dry, early spring and into the summer. Did you see over the course of not one season, but I like to look at two seasons, did you see the effects of last year's drought? Also take an impact on the trees and shrubs for this year as well?
Well, you know, I think the U.S. and some parts of Canada had, you know, a stronger drought than we did. But and it was dry here and hot, but we still got ample moisture in the Atlantic region. So, you know, the fall color, if I recall, did start a little bit earlier because when plants are under stress, that's what happens. You get the fall show earlier. And some, but because it was a milder winter, things actually overwintered well. We had some good snow moisture. And it wasn't super stressful. So, you know, things actually did pretty well. It was amazing.
Mother Nature always seems to kind of figure it out and balance itself out to some degree.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Now I know a couple of years ago there were two hurricanes that moved into your area. I know last year we had Hurricane Irene move up the East Coast that generally went west of you. But so far this year we've had absolutely nothing in the way of any significant tropical storms or hurricanes.
And we're waiting, because it's kind of normal for us.
and tell the people on the radio, and I know the people in Canada know this, but here in Chicagoland area, tell us here how often Halifax will get not only the remnants of a hurricane or a tropical storm, but oftentimes a direct hit by a hurricane, actually as a Category 1. It'll happen every once in a while, won't it?
Well, yeah, we get the remnants a lot. Probably 2 or 3 times a year we get the remnants of a big hurricane. But when they get up here, generally speaking, we're talking high waves, and everybody at that point heads to the ocean to go watch the big waves. That's just how smart we are.
Yeah.
I
thought you guys were the smart country.
You know what? When it comes to massive, we love weather, right? So we all head out to watch the waves.
Everybody loves weather. I mean, they do the same thing here. There's a hurricane.
Exactly.
We were standing on the porch, back porch, just the other day. We had this pretty intense storm come through on Friday. And we're standing on the back porch, and a wind just started whipping. I guess we had gusts of 70 miles an hour.
About 70, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
That is pretty strong.
Yeah.
And what would that be in kilometers?
Oh, God. times 1.6, I don't know, 110, 120?
Yeah, it's about 110 kilometers. Yeah.
And then the hail started hitting us. I was in my bare feet, and I'm standing on the back porch, and I'm getting hit with a hail on my feet.
In August.
It can happen in a storm like that. And then we got to get indoors. This hurts. Okay, it's time to get indoors.
The last time we had a direct hit actually from a hurricane, a big one, was 10 years ago, and it was Hurricane Juan, and I think it was number 2 when it hit us, and it was pretty catastrophic for part of the province. And a lot of the trees, like, this is a tree area, and a lot of the major trees toppled over, and we lost a lot of trees, a lot of forest.
Yeah. Well, Rick, I'm going to let you give us a quick forecast, and then I'm going to get rid of you so that I can talk to Nikki.
Well, maybe I should take my commercial break right now. Should I do that?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay, I'll do my 2-minute break, and we'll come back. More with Mike Novak's show live from Chicago in 2 minutes.
And, Rick, what's that forecast for Chicago?
Okay, do you want it in Fahrenheit or centigrade, Mike? I might as well go for it.
You might as well. Give it both.
Yeah. First off, as we finish up the month of August into September, so far 1.69 inches of rain for the month of August out here. But there have been some areas, particularly to the south, the west of us, that have got about twice as much, if not three times. And in some areas just to the north and east across Lake County, that have got less. And then there are some areas in western McHenry County that got almost 3 inches of rain with that system on Friday. We could see return to a couple of hours of some showers and thunderstorms later on this afternoon. The atmosphere is moderately unstable, not as much as it was on Friday, but we'll call it hot and humid to the south, warm and humid here in Chicago with temperatures right around 86 or 87 degrees. So a fairly nice afternoon. Then a cold front comes through in two parts, one late this afternoon, another one reinforces itself overnight. So tomorrow, Mike, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even into Thursday, beautiful early fall weather. Mid-70s tomorrow, mid-70s on Tuesday, upper 70s Wednesday, near 80 on Thursday, and maybe a little bit of warmth coming back in the area for Friday and Saturday. But if we get about a half inch, three-quarters of an inch of rain later on this evening, Mike, I think we'll be lucky. Nothing like the 2 to 3 inch downpour that we got on Friday. And then probably another return to a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity next Friday. So if you average that out, we can actually see temperatures about 2 to 3 degrees below normal for the week, and maybe about a quarter inch to about three-quarters of an inch of rain. So we're getting back to where we should be from a standpoint of rainfall. We still need another about 2 to 3 inches to replenish the soil. But otherwise, we actually finished up climatological summer 2013 basically about a half degree below normal, about 2 inches below normal rainfall, Mike.
Weird the way it started out. All right.
It certainly balances itself out after a while.
It certainly does. Rick DeMaio, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great holiday.
Take care, Mike, and ask Nikki about the waters of Hudson Bay if they've ever thawed out this year. Ask her about that, okay?
Okay, I will do that. She's probably listening right now, and I will go to that. And no, she's still got her commercial going on, but that's a good question. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. If you're wondering what's going on, I'm simulcasting, which I love doing this. We do it once a year now with, I don't know if this is a new tradition, with Nikki Jabour, who is in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Let me check to see where she is. Oh, Blue Jays baseball. Here we go.
Everything you need to know from the ground up. The Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabour. Heard Sundays from 11 to 1 on News 95.7.
Thanks again for tuning in on this long weekend Sunday, Labor Day weekend. Hard to believe. I'm kind of depressed about it, but what can you do? We're having fun, and we are doing the live simulcast, which I'm sure I'm mispronouncing, with the Mike Novak
Show. No, that's exactly right.
Is it?
Simulcast, yes.
And listen, Mike, my producer gave me something that will make you remember centimeters to inches from now on.
Okay.
Ready for this? If you remember the phrase 10-4, good buddy,
yeah,
it's 10 centimeters to 4 inches.
Oh,
smart?
All right. We are posting that on Facebook and Twitter right now. 10-4, good buddy.
10-4, good buddy. It's 10 centimeters to 4 inches.
10 centimeters to 4 inches. See?
You'll never forget it.
It will burn a hole in my brain.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. How's the gardening year been up there for you?
It's challenging, you know? I said it was a little slower, but it's definitely slower. And for me, the big challenge is the fact that my deer fence came down early.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which, I mean, I know you guys get deer, too. And it's been disastrous for me in terms of deer and trying to keep them out.
But. Well, wait, the deer fence came down. Why didn't you fix it?
Well, I've tried, but they're very tenacious, and unfortunately, I think I need to go electric, which I've been saying for years, but I'm going to do it.
Okay, now I got to ask you also: have you used any of the products? Because
I've tried it all, darling. But the thing is, it's a vegetable garden, 2,000 square feet, right? So you can't really spray organic repellents on my lettuce. You know what I mean?
No, and the point is that's your book. You know, yes. This is your life, is those 2,000 square feet of vegetables, because that's your work, your reputation. So, no, yeah. If I would do the same thing. I would just have a big old deer fence and not
gonna
worry.
Going to have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not so pretty, but you know what? If it keeps the deer out, everything else, you know, it'll all go well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got to do. And how about you guys? You mentioned it's been a cooler year as well for you, but it's a beautiful day today, I hear.
Oh, it's delightful, and it's going to get better as the week goes on. And, you know, gardening here in the Midwest is, for the first half of the summer, was a dream, because we had a lot of rain in the spring. And nobody was pulling out the watering hose at all. And then about July, it started to dry up. But even so, for a while, it got cool, so that you didn't notice that it was drier. It didn't feel oppressive as the way it did last year. And because we had a pretty nasty drought here for a while, and lots of heat. For instance, I was looking at a stat about the number of degrees or number of days we had over 90 degrees last year, and that would be 90 would be 34.
About 34, yeah.
Yeah, 34.
Yeah, 32, 34.
So we had 47 of them last year and had like 6 this year. It was so that's the difference between last year and this year. And it's one of the things you realize as a gardener, and I say it on the show all the time, there's no such thing as a normal year.
That's true. And I know you and I were talking earlier on a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that's totally different this year is there's no butterflies at all.
Ooh.
I don't know. I mean,
good point.
We talked earlier on about that. Did your numbers rebalance at all? Did you see?
Well, anecdotally, and I asked this question on the show. I asked it on Facebook. I put it on a couple of sites on Facebook. I went to Garden Chat and some other, because those for people in the biz, there are a number of communities where you can respond to things like this. The word is, it's not good that there are no monarchs to be seen. Now, in certain areas of the country, yes, there's a few. So it's not like they just, it's not the Flying Dutchman, where the meal is still hot on the table and there's no butterflies, but there are very few. I've seen exactly 2 this year. I saw one Friday in my backyard. All right, it flitted through and then out, because it, like, hey, where's all the nectar? I'm out of here, dude. Because I have a fairly shady backyard, and there was really nothing in bloom for a monarch to alight on. But the milkweed in the community garden that I work in, nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
I've
there.
Seen one, and it was in Quebec City. It wasn't even in the Maritimes. So I've seen 0 in the Maritime provinces. And I did read that, from the World Wildlife Fund, that they said there's 80% fewer butterflies that overwintered in Mexico last year, whether loss of habitat, you know, storms, herbicides wiping out milkweed. But the numbers are pretty, pretty low.
Yeah, well, it's true that there's a triple whammy going on with the monarchs, apparently.
Yeah.
One is that there's been some bad weather in Mexico in the last few years. That, coupled with loss of habitat, and then in the United States, we had that horrible drought last year.
Yes.
And a lot of the monarchs' migratory route is right through the area where there's been drought, which killed a lot of plants and didn't provide nectar and safe haven for the butterflies. And then on top of it, in terms of the hedgerows, again, loss of habitat, a lot of farmers just go to the edge of their property where they used to have weeds, and that would include milkweed and other kinds of flowers that would work for monarchs. A lot of that's down because they're trying to squeeze every dime they can out of the land.
Right.
And it's going to have, and not only that, it's not just farmers as well. It's the pressure in urban and suburban areas where we lose our habitat. It's all these things. We're coming to, I hate to use this phrase, but the perfect storm where the chief victim right now is the monarch butterfly.
And are you seeing? We're seeing a lot of people planting milkweed. Like, milkweed's making a huge resurgence here, and some people are even planting it in the areas between your highways and the ditches. And so, you know, there's a lot of gardeners planting large clumps of milkweed, public gardens, public parks, putting this in. Are you seeing in Chicago or the Midwest people, you know, actually planting milkweed for the butterflies?
Well, that's an interesting question. We had a woman who got ticketed last fall for having milkweed, among other things, in her front yard in Chicago. Okay. So in fact, I'm going to be involved in I'm in sort of behind the scenes helping work on that, and there's a conference call we're having in the next couple of weeks about that the city is understands that it's probably not being as sensitive as it should be to the issue. Their law in Chicago is if you have plants over 10 inches tall, you can be cited for having weeds.
In your front lawn?
Yeah, whether it's lawn or whatever planting you have.
I guess no vegetable gardens in the front lawns there, right?
Well, and that's part of the issue, too. It's that there's all these things. What about the ornamentals? Non-native ornamentals that are over 10 inches tall. So,
hostas, yeah, things like that.
I've seen people ticketed for having trees and shrubs in their front yard, even though, you know, some really fancy horticulturists who have ended up with tickets. So the city realizes it has an image problem right now, and it's trying to put it mildly. I wish they'd be a little more transparent about the whole thing. They're just not transparent about anything in this city.
What, a government not transparent? That's weird.
Oh, silly me. What was I thinking? Yeah. So while there is this movement to plant and these things, and my feeling is that we need to change the name milkweed because you can't have the word weed in the name.
That's true.
Because then people get it. So I'm thinking we call it butter or monarch plant. I think we got to change it to monarch plant.
That's a good idea.
Don't you think?
You know what? It is, because that's what it is. And you know, if people associate a better name with it, maybe they'll be more apt to plant it or leave it if it's growing there.
I think so. Anything that's got a weed associated with it is problematic.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for gout weed, you know, I'm all about leaving the weed in that name. But for butterfly weed, definitely. I think milkweed should keep, maybe change it. That's a good idea.
Why not? Should we start a petition?
I think we should go for it. Will we start it right now, right here?
We've only got 3.5 minutes. So
I've only got 1.5. So
oh, okay.
Then I gotta go to news. Sorry.
See, my show is a lot loosey-goosier than yours.
Well, and you got a crew. I don't have a crew. I mean,
yes,
you know,
and I don't want to introduce you to them. So say hi, Rob. Rob Carthol is here.
How about it,
Rob? Hey, how's it going?
All right.
And Sarah Batka.
Hi, Nikki.
And we talked last year. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Oh, that's right.
Good.
Well, Sarah was with the show at this point. Right.
Yes.
And, of course, Sarah is the Chicago Master Gardener Coordinator. So
that's right.
We love having her around the program.
Love Master Gardeners. Yep.
Yes. And you so have them important. In Canada, of course.
Yeah. And actually, Nova Scotia is kind of an area in Canada where a lot of people come to become Master Gardeners and do their education.
They make their pilgrimage.
They do.
I'm going to have to do that. I keep saying I'm going to come out there and I'm
right
going to
do it.
I want to see, but I want to come out in the dead of winter so I can see you growing vegetables in February.
You are very welcome to do that, but I would probably recommend May or June probably if you want to see some nice plant material.
Probably a lot more fun. And when you come to Chicago, look me up and I'll make sure you see the sights here.
Oh, I definitely will. I can't wait. I'm heading to Pittsburgh actually relatively soon for the Mother Earth News Fair, but I have nothing in Chicago right now on the schedule.
Wait, you're going to Pittsburgh for the Mother Earth News Fair and you don't have time for Chicago?
How is that
it's
possible?
It's not that close, man. Come on. That's a long walk. You know?
You
not...
can ride your bicycle. Come on.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen. I don't know if I can get it across the border.
You know, it's true. The next time we talk, I'll have to tell you about my trip to Toronto this past summer to go to a wedding and freaking out at the border because we had some cantaloupe that we opened with. They won't take fruit across the border. What are you thinking?
Nope, they won't. Well, you know what? I got to go. I'm sorry. I got to go to news. But guys, thank you so much. This has been really fun. Rob, Sarah, Mike, thanks for including me today.
Nikki, always a pleasure talking to you. And we got to do it more often.
We'll do it more often and longer because we have so much more to cover. So next time, longer.
All right. Take care
now. Thanks, guys. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we're going to quick break on Weekend Gardener back after the news.
You're listening to The Weekend Gardener.
See, I'm sneaking a listen to what she's doing. I want to see what she's doing. She's got a real official kind of throwback with music and an official announce guy. And okay, enough of that. Nikki Jabor, who you can find on Twitter. She's able to use her real name because she got to the Twitter account before somebody else named Nikki Jabor. How many Nikki Jabors do you think there are out there? But that is NikiJabbor. You can also, if you go to my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show, you'll see the link to hers. She's got a Facebook page for her radio show. It's called The Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabor. But the important thing is that she wrote this, and we didn't even refer to it, the Year-Round Vegetable Gardener. It won the 2012 American Horticultural Society Book Award. She's a regular contributor to magazines like Garden Making, Canadian Gardening, Gardens East, and Fine Gardening. And I understand she's got a second book coming out. I'm still working on my first. But she's got that coming on, so it's great talking to her, and she's a really, really nice person. Here's the way it works for the next half hour. We're opening the phone lines. Oh, wait a second. What Sarah's waving her finger at me, going, yes, Sarah?
I'm sorry, what? I was on a call.
I didn't mean to freak you out. I said we're opening the phone lines.
Oh, okay. Well, I've two calls that are holding.
You got two calls already?
Yes. I was doing a little research for Mark. He's in New Jersey, and he has a Queen of the Night cuttings.
Wow.
He's also known as the Dutchman's Pipe, and he's asking how many... I'll let him ask his question.
Well, if you've been doing the research on it... Well, I got to take care of some biz, too, before we do that. So continue to do your research.
Okay.
And I'm going to let people that know that our number is 773-763-9278. We seem to be in a gardening mode today. Although I had a guy post on Facebook and said... it says... Tuning on Breakfast with the Beatles until we're done with lawn talk. Dissed. Totally dissed. Wow. See, not everybody likes lawns. I'm one of them. My motto for lawns, when in doubt, rip it out. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. We'll get to some phone calls in just a sec. It may still feel like summer outside, but our fine feathered friends know better. Migratory birds have already started planning their southbound commute, which is why Christy Weber's Farm and Garden Center is offering you 30% off all bird feeders and houses. Did you know that some birds spend up to 18 hours a day searching for food sources? That's a long time, especially if you don't find any. That's why you need to help them out. It's critical that we help support these important members of our global ecosystem. The Farm and Garden Center has a full selection of feeders and seed, suet cakes, even bird baths to help our traveling friends along their merry way. Stop by Christy Weber's Farm and Garden Center and pick up a bird feeder or two. And while you're there, take advantage of their 50% off sale on all flowering perennials and ground covers.
50% off. Plant them now for beautiful fall and spring color. We were talking about lawn care earlier. This is also a great time to plant perennials and ground covers. And then you can like Christy Weber Landscapes and the Farm and Garden Center on Facebook. And to find out more, head to ChristyWeber.com or go to the Facebook page, Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As the weather gets cooler in late summer and early fall, it's a great time to plant many kinds of trees. So the Care of Trees has some important advice. Bigger isn't necessarily better. Sometimes when we want a tree, we're in a hurry for it to be big, but buying a larger tree is probably not the answer. Smaller trees, 2 inches in diameter or less, tend to recover faster from transplant shock and outgrow larger diameter trees, which might have had as much as 90% of their roots removed while being dug up from where they were grown. Another practical size concern pertains to the root ball. And this is really practical. A typical 2-inch diameter tree has a root ball weighing 350 to 400 pounds. That's a 2-inch diameter tree. The root ball of a 4-inch tree weighs roughly 1,500 pounds. Think about it. Which do you want to handle? I have my answer. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to give you advice about planting new trees. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. So, Sari, we got some folks calling in. You can do that at 773-763-9278. I got Rob Carthol here in the studio and Sarah Batka, and we will do what we can to help you out. Let's go to line one and bring in Mark. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. It's a great show. New listener. I have my smartphone, and it says, you know, I'm looking for an answer on this Quaven night plant. I originally got it years ago, never bloomed, so I'm trying to start again with new cuttings. The guy that I bought the plant from, the cuttings from, they didn't give me any garden information.
All right.
So I'm searching on the internet, looking, and it's like very hard to find information about this Quaven night plant. So that's my problem. I was searching for, I got the cuttings. I don't know if I should put two cuttings in a container, three, four. They say it likes to be root bound, but then how many I mean, should I put it in a container, and how big of a container? I don't want to put it too big of a thing or too small. I want to do it just right, you know, and I wanted to get the flowers. Green and Night has beautiful white flowers that bloom at night, but mine, of course, from 4 or 5 years ago just grew, but it didn't bloom, and part of it looks like it's dying, maybe from overwatering. I have it outside all summer long. I live at the Jersey Shore. Oh, I want to tell you about butterflies. I have lots of butterflies in my yard. Two butterfly bushes. You plant two butterfly
bushes. Oh, yeah. Well, butterfly bushes are great.
I have like 50 butterflies in my yard this summer. About 40 to 50, I'd say. There's always monarch and different color kinds of butterflies floating around.
Okay.
And so if you want butterfly bushes for that.
Well, we were talking in particular about monarchs. Monarchs in particular. Have you seen a lot of monarchs?
I've seen a few. I've seen about 3 or 4 a day. Because I have, like I said, they go after the butterfly bush in my yard. Two butterfly bushes.
Mm-hmm. Now your Queen of the Night, is that the cactus you're talking about?
The night cactus. It's a night blooming cirrus plant.
Yeah,
It's a beautiful plant when it blooms. It has white flowers and it smells really great. But like I said, I can't get mine to bloom, and I got some new cuttings. But I don't know. Like I say, I don't know if I should put one cutting or two cuttings for a 4-inch pot, or should I do 3 or 4? I got like 6 cuttings. Shall I put all 6 in a 6-inch pot? And then also I don't want to overwater it, because if you overwater the plant, of course it could drown.
Oh, yeah.
If you underwater it, they will dry up.
Well, so it's
a weird plant that if you have it outside of the sun and too much sun, it will burn. And then it's a very tricky plant to grow, but I don't know. I have a rose garden and I have beautiful roses. That's easy to grow.
Yeah.
But this exotic plant, that's very challenging. But there's no information on it. It's hard to get information about it. There's some information on the web.
Yeah, sure.
I can't really find out.
Sarah, what have you... okay. Okay, she's grabbing the phone there for a second. But, I'm looking here. Have you tried putting the cuttings in the pots yet? What stage are you at?
A couple of days ago, and they're in a box, because I don't want to mess with putting them in and taking them out. Because if you put the cuttings in, they can break and bend. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to screw up with it. I'm trying to find out what to do with it. I've called a few radio shows and they're kind of stumped. They're like, oh, I can't help you. I don't know. And then when you go to bookstores, you can't find any books on the Queen of the Night. You go to the library, you can't find anything in my local library.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on the internet, it's very sparse. It's very... I'm trying to find out how this one... Is there a good source? Do you know of any source I should go online to find out about these plants, or where I should go, whatever, to find out what to do, because I don't want to screw up. Because the cuttings are expensive, and I don't want to screw up on these cuttings.
No, I totally get it.
You have to wait like a month to get them. You have to order it. Get them. It's like no instructions on... I'm planting it.
So the problem here is that the mother plant, you're feeling that it's kind of dying?
Yeah, it's half dead and half alive. I've got it. It grew. It's about 6 feet tall from cuttings that I got 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow.
So 6 feet tall and about five feet around. Yeah, those plants could go up to 20 feet in the South America or Central America in the jungle. They could grow. But I'm at the Jersey Shore. And you have to bring it in the wintertime, because if it goes below 40 degrees or 35, it freezes. You bring it in. But then you can't put it in a hot room, because if you put it in a hot room near a radiator or a heater, guess what happens? It will dry out.
Yeah.
You have to put it in a certain cool room. It's a challenging place. I guess you need a greenhouse for it.
Yeah. All right. Sarah's got some information here, Mark.
Mark, I do agree with you. It is, from what I'm finding, difficult to find information about it. I would suggest for reliable research-based information to look at university extension websites, which
What university?
Well, I wasn't finding a ton of information. I did check out Florida, and it says that it grows best in hardiness zones 10 to 11. New Jersey, you're going to have to take it in.
Yeah, he does.
For the winter. It could reach up to 30 to 40 feet in height. And
well, I suppose, in its natural, not indoors. I don't think you could have.
Well, no, I've seen pictures on the internet where it goes as people see it, it's 12 feet, and they have to hack it back. People have it on the internet. You see pictures of it at 20, 30 years old. They have to hack it down because it grows crazy.
They take over
room on the internet. It shows pictures of it. But like I said, I've had mine 5 years. It's about 5 feet tall by 5 feet wide, but half of it's dead. That's the part that's dead. You think I should just pull it out, the dead part? Do you think it would affect the half-good part?
I don't know what it looks like and what you've got. And you're trying to take a section of the plant and repot it, right?
Right.
Have you already cut?
I took some of the dead part out. I guess I could just, the dead is dead. So it's the waste. It's in a big plot.
When you say the dead part, is it a dead branch or extension?
It's dead leaves. It's dead leaves. It's brown, and it's like I've got too much water because we had a lot of water here in July or June.
Yeah,
and then the summer when it was dry, so it did better in the dry, but it didn't. The over rain, how was I supposed to bring it in and out every time it rained? Who knew that it was going to rain 3 days in a row? This plant.
Well, see, there you go. I think that's your issue right there, is that you let it sit out in the rain for 3 days. I had a friend who had a jade plant, and I had a friend plant sit for me once when I was gone. And that was the most beautiful jade plant ever. And she watered it every day. And the plant suffered so much, and it took years for it to come back. I did find a site here. Here's, not knowing any, not having grown this plant, not having done it before. I have found a site that says to take a stem cutting, you use a razor blade, cut a stem at a natural joint. And most stems are fairly long, measuring up to 15 inches. A shorter segment stem, 2 to 4, will also root as long as the stem cut.
Well, I got the cuttings that are like 6-inch cuttings.
Yeah.
And so what do you think? So I should put, how many cuttings would you put in a pot? 4 inches in a 4-inch pot? Or would you do four?
Again, I haven't grown it. I would probably put. I'd probably put one, in a small. House. Pardon?
What you would put one? What, just one? They say that they like it crowded.
Oh well, yeah, but if
somebody they some I bought it from. Believe it or not, I bought it from like 3 different places, and this one woman I bought it from, she goes, put 3 in a 4-inch pot.
All right,
you could put 4 in a 6-inch pot. Because this way it'll bloom faster because it likes its roots crowded. I don't know what kind of plant likes root crowded.
A lot of plants do. I'll tell you what, Mark. All right, Mark, your cell is pretty bad, so I can't keep doing this. But let me do
anyway,
some.
So I'll just go look on web. She said the University of Florida.
Shoot me an email and
the email address.
It's
email
Mike. Address. Mike. At Mike Novak, MikeNowak.net.
Okay.
And we'll and if we track, and I'm sure I'm going to hear from somebody who's going to say, "Oh yeah, I've worked with those, I know what to do." And we'll get that, and we'll get you some answers. And then when I do that, I'll put them on the air just so that people know that we tracked it down.
I'll put it. And also that was the. I just searched what's the call letters to look up to hear the radio, hear the station online? Can you hear this?
Go to MikeNowak.net, MikeNowak.net. Okay. It's on the homepage.
It's on the homepage, and if you click on live,
yep,
you can hear it live.
Listen here.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot for all your help.
All right, good luck.
Thanks for your call, Mark.
Bye-bye. See, I've not grown that one before. Have you?
No, I haven't, but I've heard of it. The Night Blooming Cirrus.
Yeah.
They call it, there's a movie, it's a cartoon. Oh, heck.
The what?
It's a cartoon, Dennis the Menace, and they wait up all night to watch this.
Oh.
Night Blooming Cirrus bloom.
A cartoon. It's not Dennis the Menace, the live version.
It's the movie one.
The movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to line three. And Brett, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I basically have two questions. I've got rows of Sharon that have been growing, obviously, here for 25 years before the house was even bought.
Okay.
And I've lost two over the last 4 years, and I do have, you know, a little skills on, you know, taking care of trees, but I'm losing these, and I don't want to lose them because they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I can do. I got three of them that are just blooming, I couldn't believe, and one is bloomed, but it's weak, you know, with the green.
So, and when you say weak with the green, what do you describe?
There's not a lot of leaves or anything else. It's fading just like the other ones did when they passed.
And how many have you lost?
Two.
Out of
six.
Okay. So you've lost two. And do all the rest of them look bad?
Well, you have one that's fading the same thing. So I have three more.
And where are they sited?
They're on the side of the fence, but they're not, the fence doesn't go that deep. They are by the driveway. I heard you say earlier about that, but they're not that close. I mean, they're probably 12 feet from both driveways, from my neighbors and the home. And, you know, I always try to keep them watered. I don't overwater, but, you know, I always know to do something about that, you know, because I know they're high roots and everything else. I used to plant a lot of stuff in my day when I was a kid, but I don't know what to do. I mean, is there anything? One's fading, and they look just like they did before, and it's going to fade, and I'm going to be...
Yeah, you're going to lose it. What's your soil like?
It's basically topsoil, and then... underneath is pretty much I put in a lot of nitrogen recently, but I mean the soil's not all that great, but it's not that bad. I mean they thrived. I mean these trees are almost at least 15 to 16 feet tall, and I keep cutting them down, but they keep growing that high very quickly. So I'm asking, is there a certain height I should keep them, or just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you could, you know, it's, I think it's up to you how high you want to keep them. I mean, if it fits in the spot, you would probably want to prune it to, whatever suits your taste. I'm not sure that there is a particular height that a Rose of Sharon, I mean, any plant to be in its natural shape, you just let it go where it goes. Now, obviously, we prune things all the time, and right. A Rose of Sharon we prune so that we can, have it, just be to fit the landscape that we want. And have make it easy to get to, that kind of thing. I couldn't tell you right now what the decline is about. I would have to do a little research on this and see what I can do for you. The reason I ask about your soil, because I wonder if you have clay issue, you know, where you're getting enough drainage, that sort of thing.
Well, Well, yeah, well, the drainage is fine. I mean, it goes straight through there. But like I said, there's water hold there. But that has nothing to do with you. What I'm asking is, basically, I've had a couple of them last a lot longer. They were almost dead, just the same thing. And I did a lot of work on them, pruned them, and, took them down to basically, shorter. And they came back. But I just, like I said, how tall are they supposed to be, or is it, overexpanding itself, where it's feeding itself too high and then we got nothing down below or anything else? That's what's confusing me.
Uh-huh. I'll be honest, I don't have the answer to that in terms of what it should be. Most of the Rosa Sharons that I know about in the neighborhood, people prune regularly because they want to keep them at a certain height, and it seems right. not to be a problem with it. I've seen Rosa Sharons grow in practically nothing, just really bad soil, lousy conditions, and then they bloom like champs. And, and it's possible that they're short-lived trees, although I don't know that that is true. Some trees just, they only live a certain length and they're gone. Like willows, they're,
right.
And other trees. So, I'm not going to guess for you here. What I am going to do, Brett, is do a little research on this, and then we'll answer this question again next week. Let me get more information. If you could send me a photo, that'd be helpful.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Okay, quickly, though.
Very short, very short. Why are there so many spiders' webs around everything on people's yards and everything else? Have you seen that, or am I the only one that have seen spider webs on the yards, everything in your plants and everything else?
It happens, as the season goes on, there are more and more of them.
I've never seen this much.
Really? Okay. And it's quite possible that it has to do with, I know seasonally, I am familiar with seeing more and more spider webs as the season goes on.
Right.
Then it starts again in the spring, and then you get more. If it's a particularly...
They're wolf spiders, and I just slapped one.
I've seen a lot lately, too, but I always associate it to the fall. It's like, oh, yeah, it's fall. There's spiders. Yeah, they've been doing their thing. And then, let me check on that, too. That's an interesting question, but I think it's a seasonal thing.
I've never seen so many. I'm in Barrington. I mean, I've got webs going across from my trees, across my sidewalk. Yeah, I mean, they're just single strings.
I know. I've seen it in my backyard, too. I've got the same thing. It's like I'm walking into them all the time.
Yeah. It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
I remember it happening once in a while, but no, I've never seen so many.
Yeah.
With ground cover and everything else, I've never seen so many.
It's an interesting question, too. Well, next time I have to talk to my entomologist friends and find out about that. But I suspect it's seasonal because that seems to be what I... And other people in the room are kind of nodding their heads. So I think that's the way that works. So, all right. Well, listen, right. I'm going to check on this. Brett, do me a favor. You also shoot me an email, too, okay?
I don't have a computer. Oh. I got a phone I can
I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. You talk to Sarah and get she'll get your phone number, and then we'll be able to contact you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Brett. It's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Bertolt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. As you know, Wally isn't a real doctor, even though he has several copies of Grey's Anatomy, the TV show, not the book. Dr. Wally reminds you that the key to successful gardening starts with healthy soil, and the same applies to containers. He highly endorses Dr. Earth Pot of Gold all-purpose potting soil. Dr. Wally says that last year his pansies and ornamental kale in containers held color and structure even through a few frosts. Dr. Earth Pot of Gold contains strains of mycorrhizae that contribute to a huge root system and thus a very vigorous plant. As a result, he's grown fantastic lettuce, Swiss chard, and spinach without additional fertilizer. Several Bertolt's customers have said things like, "Wow, what's in that stuff? My flowers grew like crazy. I've never grown planters as nice." Nice to hear. Stop in and talk to Dr. Wally in person at Bertolt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertoltsgardencenter.com.
Allergies acting up? Trouble breathing? Headaches? Sinus pressure? You're tired? Congested? Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
And another successful edition of Stump the Garden Guy comes to a close. I'm going to play this. See, now, because Rob likes it, we'll just play it in the background here. since it's become kind of, it's supposed to be the theme, and I never get it right, but I finally did today, so we'll see how this plays out. Oh, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank Nikki Jabor for being part of the show. Don't forget, you can always go to Facebook and Twitter and all that cool stuff. And since we're at this part of the show, we say go green or...
Go home.
Yeah.